thank everybody for coming, all volunteers, anybody who sponsored us. We could still use more cash and sponsors. But all of the contributions, everybody who was here and had fun and acknowledged all the hard work that volunteers and all the staff are doing. I also want to thank the hotel, Hurricane, and well, you'll hear all the other thanks. I'm not going to go on. And you've heard me talk a lot, and I'm sure you'll hear more from me. So we had a couple hiccups with telecommunications stuff, and I'm, of course, I handle a lot of the WAN and getting those things ordered for on behalf of 2600 and stuff. So they'll get into more details. One really weird thing that happened is we had to pay for a splice again because it was taken back, and the NOC guys will explain that in a little more detail. But that was kind of frustrating. So we didn't have quite as much in the way of sponsorship because the first time we paid for that, it ended up being funded by sponsors. Long story long, we were able to replicate a lot of it, and I guess the only other real frustration was Verizon, which is absolutely no surprise at all. It took us like a month and a half to actually get to the bottom of it, and we were still working on it. We still had people coming here. We had a tech here, I think, on weekends and like pretty much every day this week or last week. And I really want to thank the hotel because they actually ran their own line. So it took us 2 weeks to figure out that they had a problem from the CO to the frame to the building, and then another 2 weeks to get to the bottom of what line the hotel ran so that when the Verizon guy came up here to test the phone line for social engineering, that basically it was the wrong outlet. The hotel ran it somewhere else. So we eventually figured that out, and it worked great, and people really like social engineering. But without further ado, you know, I did some things, but these guys did way, way more things. So please listen up and hear what the NOC guys have to say, because they have really built and evolved this network. So here they go.
Thank you. My name is Alex, and I'm representing the rather large NOC team this year. After the previous HOPE conference, we definitely got a lot of interest stirred up just as a result of the closing ceremony's presentation. Hopefully next time I'll actually do a more in-depth overview of the NOC, but here, without further ado, we'll get into it. So our start. So a lot of things stayed the same as they were at the previous HOPE. So we got a 10-gig point-to-point dark fiber connection to 111 8th Avenue. We had to have our carrier re-splice the connection, supposedly. That was very expensive, as it turns out. We had to order a cross-connect to Equinix, or at Equinix, to Hurricane Electric. We turned up a 10-gig port with them. We had Yellow Fiber Networks provide a Brocade XMR 4000, which is designed to handle 960 gig of traffic. And we had to run a lot of fiber and copper cabling. So some things changed this time around. If you were here at the previous HOPE, you know that the fiber connection from the first floor to the 18th floor got cut maliciously in the middle of the night. Several times. And we spent a lot of long nights rerunning fiber. It was very frustrating. This time we decided to take a little bit different approach, and we actually ran 10 gig everywhere. And we actually partnered up with a fiber optic vendor who sent us custom cables to length to go between all of the floors, and we had three pairs for redundancy. So. One of the other big frustrations that we had is our previous sponsor for the wireless and distribution hardware, they had a lot of turnover with their staff, and we had to try to find a new sponsor that was willing to not only give us 50 wireless access points, but the controllers necessary to drive this crowd and all of the switches as well. So we actually teamed up with Aruba Networks, which is an HP company. And essentially, we worked with their CTO. He was a great point of contact and really helped us out a lot. So I'd like to give a big round of applause to them. In fact, they were such a good sponsor that they sent us 10 of their latest and greatest switches directly from their HPE Discover conference in Las Vegas. It was pretty cool. You might have noticed that, you know, when you were connecting to different applications, you might have, you know, it might have thought you were on the strip. I know Uber did, and a couple other applications did. Yep. Some thought that you were in San Francisco and Amsterdam. Aruba sent us, 50 wireless access points, 2 controllers, and then I had to go, pick everything up, and there was some additional challenges with that. I was actually in the process of moving, so to make matters worse. Luckily for me, I have a great employer, and it's called Roka Security, and they provided all the space that I needed in order to pre-stage all of the equipment and get it driven up from Washington, D.C. So big shout out to them as well. But it's never that easy. So we got these awesome new switches, and the first look that I had at them, I realized that they did not have the 10 gig cards or the optics that we needed. I reached back out to them, and it was a lot of back and forth, but essentially we found out that the optics and the cards were out of stock until September, which obviously would not work for this conference. So they actually overnighted us their previous generation switches, cards, and optics from California. So IP space is definitely an issue. We did not have the ability this year to do carrier-grade NAT. As a result, everyone got a public IP, as with previous HOPE conferences. But obviously getting the number of IPs that we need for this conference is a big undertaking. Aaron's out of IP space. RIPE will be soon. But Afrinic has some. So we thought about becoming an African ISP. It's a little expensive. So we actually reached out to the vendor that we had previously provide our IP space. And obviously, he's kind of stretched thin for space. And so he introduced us to a company called Prefix Broker, which is based in the Netherlands. And they gave us a /19 of IPv4 space and a /29 of IPv6 space. So that was pretty fantastic. And remember how we wanted to become an ISP? Well, we did. We actually got our own autonomous system number from Hurricane Electric. Yeah. So we turned up BGP, both IPv4 and IPv6, and you might have noticed 2600 was in your V6 address. But how did we get all this gear to New York? So at the end of the day, we had a ton of equipment, over 4 pallets of equipment. MagFest was actually willing to let us use their warehouse for some pre-staging and loading into their Pelican cases in order to get the equipment to actually fit in our vehicles to drive up here. So we actually drove up with the Radio Statler team, so big shout out to them as well. But what about the configuration effort? So we spent the last week configuring all of our network devices once we actually had them. We had a little bit of a fan problem. It was a 90-degree warehouse with 90% humidity, and we were running some big equipment. As a result of our preparation, the core of the network was actually online in under an hour before there was even tables in the space. So we just left it on the floor. And we had a new and improved cooling system. But then there's the hard work. All of the cables. There's a lot, and it might not be pretty, but it all works. You can actually see some of the cables have fallen down in the stairwells. But the fiber that we had. So we ran 600 meters of fiber this weekend. Unbelievable. Wave to Wave really came in for us on that, and it was fantastic. It was really easy to run.
No, it wasn't. It was not.
fun for Roche.
Yeah.
But what about the pesky services that we need to actually operate the network? So obviously we have a DHCP server for IPv4 and IPv6. We have a firewall with NAT for press, speaker, and management access. And then we have to have monitoring of all of our infrastructure. We had a hardware failure. So at the last minute, we ran on a Windows 10 laptop, Hyper-V, and we spun up some GNU/Linux VMs. But we had some amazing monitoring in place at the end of the day. So we used Observium for bandwidth and health monitoring of the systems. We had a sponsor called Panopta, which provided, you know, checks from three different geographical locations to make sure everything was functioning every 60 seconds. And it actually alerted us in Slack. And you can see an example of that on the screen. We also launched a public status site, which included all of the active access points, which was really cool this year. Some stats. We achieved 99.94% overall network uptime. Yeah. Over 500 meg over wireless at peak, 1.76 gig during a denial of service attack. We actually had a Tor relay node running in the Knock Knock, one of the few devices people actually dropped off with us. But for next time, for reference, you can get a 10 gig port from us. That is available. Some interesting findings. So a lot of people wondered why they had a public IP address in Amsterdam. Why they couldn't get 10 gig on their phone. And I think one of the biggest findings, and I really want to bring this up for the press as well, is that you're more likely on this network, honestly, to be compromised from an external system than by an attendee at Hope. And we actually verified this with a Snort IDS. Some additional findings. So under 50 users at peak were using WPA2 Enterprise. Come on, people. 80% of users were connected to unencrypted Wi-Fi. Most of them were on 5 gigahertz. We still had another user, you know, logging in as fuck the knock. I don't know. But remember those users on WPA2 Enterprise? So they're safe, but the other users were not safe on the encrypted wireless. We found 680 pictures. 65% of them were horrible. 10 Excel spreadsheets which contained passwords, and you guys spent a lot of time on Pokemon Go. Just kidding. But next time we're rate limiting your connection so that you use the encrypted wireless. Come on. So next time we're considering actually multi-homing with BGP. This time we just turned up a single session with HE. And we really want users to push more bandwidth. Reed from Hurricane Electric, who's our point of contact there, was very disappointed when he showed up yesterday. He really wanted to downgrade us to 1 gig port. So we couldn't have done this without our amazing sponsors. And with our relatively large 2016 Hope Knock team. And if anyone is interested, we will be tearing down the network this evening in a very rapid fashion. So please meet us on the mezzanine in the Knock if you would like to assist. Thank you, everyone.
Hey, everybody. Come on, do a little better than that. There we go. I'm freaking tired and I'm up here, so you can all make noise. All right. So I'm Tech Darko. I'm involved in a bunch of crap here, but I'm here to talk to you today about the global reach of Hope. Who here knows what Radio Statler is? Who here has listened to Radio Statler? Who here has used our stream this year? Or watch any of the simulcast locations in the floors. All right, this is what we're here to talk about. So last year, we started doing some streaming. We streamed the main room, and Radio Statler, in addition to their normal content, streamed all of the audio from all three talk rooms, and we had a ton of listeners, and people really loved it. And so this year, we made a concerted effort to make sure that we had everything going out so that we can reach everyone, and anyone who couldn't make the conference could still enjoy it. We wanted to make sure that we had a wider reach so that instead of it being limited to on-site or local, that anyone in the world could get to it and wouldn't be blocked. We wanted to make sure we had more engagement, that people could watch, that they could comment, they could get on IRC, onto irc.2600.net, and onto the Hope channel, onto other channels, talk to people who were here, ask questions, find out what was going on. We wanted to make sure we had new content, and hopefully we actually may have more next year when we are going to aim to stream the fourth track as well. We wanted to make sure that attendees were engaged, so that you guys who are here weren't stuck standing outside going, what the hell, I can't watch stuff, because I know that happens, and we know we get crowded. And the biggest thing we wanted was we wanted to share all the things. And this year, we pretty much did it. First up, Radio Statler, putting things into your ear holes. This year, Radio Statler had some incredible content. We had Cory Doctorow on. We had some awesome people from the community on. We had the Massachusetts Pirate Party on. We had just some incredible stuff on. There's some people we're going to shout out to about that. Radio Statler had over 400 unique listeners. They were listened to in 50 countries and on all six continents except Antarctica. So, if anyone knows anyone who's working down there or will be working down there next time, tell them to tune in so we can say all friggin' seven continents. There was over 500 listener hours for Radio Statler, and some of the interesting countries they had were UK, because, you know, they're scared of shit of Brexit, so they got to do something. New Zealand, because what else are you going to do? Singapore, Israel, Croatia, Ecuador, Moldova, and Timor. Timor is a little country which has a militant rule and has a really active hacker scene, so it's awesome that they're able to watch and listen and get involved. So for all of you out, the content, most of it will be up. It'll be at radio.hope.net. You can also go there and get involved. If you want to come down, do a show next time, volunteer. It'll be awesome. I got to give a shout out to a few people. Nick God, who is our engineer and did an awesome job getting the equipment together and actually running on time this year. Beaches and Side Pocket for the amazing content they got together and making sure the schedules actually happened and when people decided to flake, that stuff actually was there to be put on. Bunnyburn for her awesome outreach and making sure that we get new people involved and that people who are currently involved stay interested. And Stoppe, who unfortunately had to go home to care for his baby, and who for banging out a website, and the current website, if you go look, it's pretty cool. He banged it out Friday morning from about 3 a.m. until 6 a.m. Because as our panel was, it's Radio Statler, fuck it, we do it live. Streaming. From the beginning all the way through, we've had all three talk rooms streamed this year. And this is through the generosity and the incredible support from the Internet Society, who did an amazing job making this happen and pulled this out, and it was entirely them. They did this all on their own with their own funding, which was the only way we were able to make it happen. So let's give them a huge round of applause. Also, they're an incredibly worthwhile organization. If you've never heard of them, go look them up. You'll probably want to get involved with them. So these are a couple of graphs. We had some incredible streaming numbers this year. I mean, it was pretty nuts. As you can see, we took off and we stayed there. It wasn't like we had one peak. Last year, we had a peak with Snowden being on. This year, it was consistent, and we blew last year's numbers out of the water. We had 22,000 unique listeners. 22,000 people around the world watched from home. We had 400 peak simultaneous listeners in each of the rooms. We had a total of 342,000 minutes of streaming, or 5,700 hours over the last 3 days. Yeah. We were watched in 97 countries on 6 continents. That's where we were watched from. Yeah, apparently Greenland doesn't like us. I don't know. Also Kazakhstan. What the hell? So we had some complaints. Mostly that you had to use Flash to watch it. Yeah, well, it's live stream. But after all the complaints, we decided, you know what? We'll add another restriction to make it easier next year. You must use Internet Explorer 6. In all honesty, we're going to try and make this even better next year, make it so it's open. You can watch video streams directly, and you'll be able to watch on social media. Simulcasting. It's too damn crowded. So as hope's been growing, we know that the rooms have been getting a little tight, and some of you may have to pack in a little tighter. And sometimes you can't get into the rooms for talks you want to say. So this year we decided we were going to do a simulcasting on the Mez space, the one behind the vendors in the work area. And it worked out great. Except we didn't count on Friday all three rooms going to capacity before the evening. So we went to our AV team and said, hey, we know we didn't ask you to do this. We didn't ask you to get equipment to do this, but we need you to give us two more streaming spaces in the next 12 hours. They did it. With no preparation, no advance notice, not even all the equipment they needed, they managed to turn Pentop Center here between the two rooms and the first floor in the concert area into streaming zones so that people could watch and we could get all three talk streams somewhere else. There's a couple of people in particular I want to give a shout out to. Maya, Aaron, and Andrew, who worked their fucking asses off. I know, because I was the one calling and yelling at them all the time to go faster and get things done. We also want to give a shout out to ETC, who was generous enough to donate some equipment to us. I mean, probably saved us, you know, a lot of money, and make sure that we had some top of the line equipment, which is coming out soon for our AV folks to play with. So let's give a shout out to ETC as well. We'll be back. We'll be better. We'll see you in 2018.
My name is Alyssa, and I am the press liaison, and this is Aesthetics Core Team.
Hello.
So first, I'd like to thank all the members of the press who came out and went through our registration process and actually read the email about our consent and photo policy and then abided by the email about our consent and photo policy. Yeah, let's give them a... I think that's really awesome. I didn't hear of any incidents around consent and the photo policy this year. That's not to say nothing happened, but nothing made its way to me and to the team. So I really do appreciate that. There are a lot of new folks who are here this year. One reason for that is the press stories that come out. It's one of the ways that people hear about the conference. So to members of the press, thank you so much for being here. And please remember to send your stories to us at
press@hope.net.
Yeah. There's one more thing that I'm really glad to be able to be up here and say, which is 2 years ago, I'd barely heard of Hope, and I came here for the first time. And this year, I was a speaker, and I was able to be part of the team organizing the event as press liaison and involved with some of the policies, which really speaks to the friendliness and the warmth of the team. I had a great experience. It was really fun. So I'd really encourage folks to volunteer. I had a great time. I hope that you'll be part of it in 2 years from now. And the email address to get in touch with us to let us know that you want to volunteer is...
volunteers@hope.net.
That's it. Thanks.
And interestingly enough, I see Johannes on the side, and he's wearing a security shirt. I did not know that you were part of security. Can you come up and share us with us a little bit of how security worked? Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Yes, it's true. It's the first time that I've been part of the InfoSec security team here. And the main problem we have here, and that's why I want to talk about InfoSec today, is actually I'm talking about InfoSecular security. So The problem is that we have been tracking down over the last couple of days a spirit. And we tried to find it and we can't because we put the IT in spirit. And that's why I have this like bag from Walmart here, because you actually have to help me with one little security problem that was arising around 2 or 3 days ago. So the problem is, you probably have heard, it was a bad joke, I know, someone came up with it, this whole thing about 1st of April joke that Trump is going to be the hope keynote speaker, something like that. That was really like a thing, and I read it on my Twitter feed, and it's like, oh, shit, this is only causing problem for the secular team, yeah. The main problem is, I mean, do you know why we have this like crazy hippie shit like colors in our shirts? It's because we always have to deal with like strange free spirits with like astral bodies, astral projections, and they're trying to infiltrate, they're trying to penetrate our networks here, and we never get the fuck out, really. Yeah? So me and my team, we have been working on getting rid of one specifically nasty little spirit, and it's Trump's astral projection, okay? So Trump's astral projection is bothering us for the last 3 days, and the main problem is because Trump is such a prolific media personality, even his soul gets scattered and is trying to infiltrate conferences and people's minds. So there is a little fragment of Trump's soul trapped in one of your bodies here. And I'm trying to find out where it is, secure it, and then exercise it. Okay? So what? Come on, I need more budget for that, really, okay? So in 2018, give me a budget, then I can do that, okay? But not today. So what do we have here? First of all, we need a very specific divining rod. I have like an USB 3 cable here. It's gold, and I think that's very fitting for Trump. And I'm trying now, like, I try to make it. I know it's the closing ceremony, we have to get home and everything, but please bear with me, and help me, okay? So I'll come down to you now, and please assist me in my little, you know.
Okay. Really bad in speaking in tongues. Really. You should be like typing in tongues or something. That's better for you. But, okay, this is not working. I want to hear.
Channel it! I want to hear a 3, 2, 1, go! 3, 2, 1.
Bernie.
We need the goat! It's like a face hugger or something. I don't know. So, what? I'm exhausted. Okay. Go!
Oh, make America great again!
Yes! Projectile vomiting and stuff, so get off stage. Yeah, do that. Drink it out. Drink it out. Where's my cable? Where's that? Okay, good.
Thank you. Don't thank me. Thank the goat. Good night.
Fuck, am I supposed to follow up?
It's in me now! It's in me!
Oh my god. There's nothing I can say. Wow. Okay, well, that was nice. Thank you. Thank you, Johannes, for that contribution. So here we are at the end, close to the end. We still have to load up trucks and drive them places and things like that. But it's been a blast. We've been at this for months. Many of us have been working on this for months. I wanted to acknowledge, actually, people who haven't been acknowledged yet, and that's the speaker committee. Those are the people who picked, out of hundreds of submissions, the talks that many of you saw here. And that's Greg Newby, Lindsay, who also coordinates volunteers, Matt Blaze. Rob T. Firefly, and last but certainly not least, the very same Bernie S. was just waterboarded on the table here, who brought in dozens of talks by, I think, all kinds of threats and blackmail and things like that to get people to speak here. Yeah, and it worked, and we had all kinds of amazing talks that we never would have had without his incredible work on that. So thank you to the Speaker Committee, and look forward to next time when we have even more. And speaking of even more, in 2018, under the theme of President Trump, we are going to have even bigger spaces. There is another ballroom we're going to try and take over. In this, yeah. Most of you don't know where it is, but it's there. We checked today; it's still there, and we're going to expand a bit because we have more people than ever, and I think that's cool. We also want to thank a bunch of people that I think really made this possible, and that's you, the attendees. You're an awesome crowd. You're incredible. The hotel loves you. We love you. There were no incidents to speak of that you might have with 3,000 people wandering in a hotel on a weekend, on a hot, steamy, humid July weekend. Everybody was really well behaved and took care of each other, and that is so important. And it speaks volumes for the hacker community, what we're all about. I mean, we were sitting on 10 gigs of bandwidth. We could have taken down any country we wanted to, but we didn't. We didn't. You know, I had all kinds of ideas as to people and entities that, you know, could feel our wrath, but it's better to let them speak sometimes and just listen to the nonsense they spout. And silencing them doesn't let them do that. So we use the bandwidth for all kinds of cool purposes, as you heard from the network team, which is the most incredible team. Gosh, I also want to thank the hotel because this is an amazing place. I'm so glad they didn't tear it down in 2008, largely because people like you spoke up. And if you look on the Wikipedia page of Hotel Pennsylvania, you'll see we're there as the people standing up for this place. And I'm happy to say that Vornado believes that this place is better served by being a hotel, a profitable hotel right across from Penn Station. And I hope we're here for many years to come as well. So thanks to them, and thanks to them for... thanks to them for being so nice to us, because it is, you know, a real a test of their patience to have so many of us in all different parts. I mean, we know the hotel better than a lot of the employees of the hotel. And, you know, sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. It makes things easier in some ways. It makes things more difficult in others. And that kind of leads into a story I'd like to pass on to Kush here, one of our security leaders, who really saved a bunch of asses this week. Yeah, you might have heard the story about how people were exploring a little bit too much. You know, we warn people, explore, yeah, you know, learn things, but just don't go on the roof. Because while we might not be able to see you going up there, the security cameras up there will see you, and that means that the hotel security and NYPD will see you. And, Kush, you want to tell the story quickly of how you saved a bunch of people from a fate worse than a lot of things?
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing? Thanks, man. Well, we get a call. I'm drinking very heavily because, you know, I work security. And we get a call. Okay, hotel security is pissed. You have guys on the roof throwing shit off. So they're like, well, get one of your security people here. I'm like, all right, I'll fucking take care of it, guys. Go over there, and hotel security says, we've called the police. Everyone up there, it's going to be arrested. Fuck. I'm thinking three or four people. No. I go up there with hotel security, and there's about 20 people on the roof. So I'm like, great. And I'm looking at the security guy, and I just lose it with our people because I figure this is the only way to get them the hell off there. I start grabbing badges and I'm yelling at people, get the fuck out of here! God damn it! And they're leaving and the security guy's letting them go after he's telling me he's going to lock the fucking door. And I'm like, okay, be a bigger dick. Give me that! Give me that! Give me that! Get the fuck out of here! And people are putting their badges in their pocket. I'm like, dick, I'll give it back to you later. And we finish off with, we get everybody out. And they're past the security guy, and people are arguing with me, and I'm like, just fucking leave, guys. And I don't want to tell them, you know, the police are on the way in front of hotel security. And finally, they all disperse. And the hotel security manager says, great job. Guys, I'm embarrassed as it is. But needless to say, every badge that was taken was given back to registration, and all they had to do was just go down and say, hey, I fucked up, and they were handed their badge back.
Some didn't say that.
Some did not. Some lied, and we laughed at them and let them pay another $160. Oh, yeah, as we laughed, and, you know, the hotel guy came down, we see the police show up. They have batons in the right hand, tasers in the left hand. They were going up to the roof. So the ass beating and the stunning did not happen. Thank goodness. But really, everything's good with Mike and Big Frank. You know, I only do this because of this. Because of these fucking guys right here. Come here. Come on.
It's a big stage, man.
Yeah. We're going to sleep with each other later.
Okay, so I apologize for the drapes that are missing downstairs. I had to do a quick job, and this just worked. I'll tell you, in 22 years of doing this, I have the best team. We have the best time, and no, I'm not Donald Trump, so don't go there. We didn't want to make security better. Security is already great. We have incredible volunteers. Matter of fact, all of the volunteers for security, give them a hand. Oh, come on. You guys can get, like, really fucking crazy with this. Woo! We have done everything from first aid to riot control. If you've ever seen this place disperse really quick, yeah, you'll yeah, marriage counseling.
Done that.
Yeah. Divorce counseling.
Celebrations.
Yes. Yeah, a few celebrations. This year, everybody was worried because they said, security's not stocking a bar this year. They're going to be dicks. I wanted to tell you that alcohol showed up. Yes, a lot of it was donated. I mean, an incredible amount of it was donated. And by the way, thank you so much. There are people outside, though, that made this fantastic for security. The Lockpicking Village. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for getting the escalators running. I don't know about you, but if I have to climb that damn escalator one more time at 4 o'clock in the morning, absolutely drunk off my ass, I will be pissed. Oh, now you tell me about the elevator. I thought it was broke too. Oh, see? There we go.
It shuts off after midnight.
Why? Could you imagine at 11:59? I got to go upstairs, man. I'm going to take the handicap elevator.
How long were you stuck on the escalator?
I'll use the standard answer that I use for everybody from the NYPD to the FBI. I plead the fifth on that. Yes, there you go. Thank you. Somebody's got it right. Actually, I got up to the top of the escalator in really, really quick time. Somebody was waving a bottle of booze, and I said, yay! You know. But, you know, the Lockpicking Village helped us get the escalators going. Lindsay helped us with volunteers and dealt with us ad nauseum. Yeah, if there was a sainthood medal, we'd have it manufactured and give it to her for that.
We gave her booze.
Oh, we gave her booze, though. Yes. Lindsay! And there were incredible people all around. Oh, she gets her own time. There were incredible people all the way around that helped us out. This year, yeah, we did have a few. I mean, that was one of three parties on the roof that wound up getting taken off the roof.
Don't forget the other one.
Yeah. We don't mention the other one.
Let's not talk about that.
Shh. We don't talk about that, or we try not to. Anyway, it's been a great 22 years. Incredible people. You guys make hope. Absolutely incredible every time I come down here. Thank you all. Applaud yourselves. And to my security folks, thank you for putting up with lack of sleep.
Dealing with you.
Yeah, dealing with me. Dealing with you, really.
I ain't got no comment.
Okay. And thank you again. We'll see you next...
2018.
I thought we were going to do this next year. Yeah. Nah, 2018.
Special presentation concerning retrocomputing, including a special presentation.
Hey, everyone.
Let's see here. AV help, please.
It's
not showing. It's not coming up on the. Yeah.
No, that's DVI.
The HDMI is not working. HDMI is plugged in here. It's not working.
Okay.
I have a VGA adapter if you want that.
Let's try that. Because we don't have the other thing.
Stand by. Technical difficulties.
Can you hit the sync for me?
Okay. Do you have any audio?
No. Where's my mouse?
Shoot.
Uh-oh.
Not our fault. It appears this is plugged.
Oh, come on.
All right, there we are. Hey, everybody. So my name's Evan, and I run a 501c3 nonprofit called the Vintage Computer Federation. Thank you. Thanks to everyone who visited us on the mezzanine this weekend. So we do four things. We have a hands-on computer museum in New Jersey, everything from 1950s mainframes to 80s 8-bitters up and running. We own the largest discussion forum for our hobby on the internet, which is the Vintage Computer Forum, which is this. We are incubating local chapters, and we have our own events called the Vintage Computer Festival series. There's one in April at our museum in Jersey, and then there's one coming up August 6th and 7th at the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California, right in the heart of Silicon Valley. So anyway, at the previous Hope, Emmanuel came to us and said, hey, you guys restore vintage computers. That's what you do, right? We said, yeah, totally. And he said, well, he has this Zenith Z100 computer from the mid-80s. It's an S100 computer. And it was in pretty interesting shape. We'll show you some pictures. And so we restored it. And one of my guys, John here, is going to tell you all the technical side. I'm going to kick it off with an interesting photograph. This is when we got it. So, John, I'll give you the floor. And if anyone wants to learn more about us, we are at VCFED, Vintage Computer Federation, so vcfed.org.
Hey, can you slap F1 on there? Just someone slap F1. So, hi, everybody. I can't take credit for doing most of this because the guy who actually pulled this off in a week and a half ended up being at K-Fest this week, which he always goes to, and so he went to that. But he, let's see, we've got, we're up on the screen here? Okay. So this is the outside of when it started. This is the inside. This thing had 10 generations of mice taking a shit in here for however long. So it was so bad that the motherboard actually delaminated. So, and we're not talking just the outside got messed up. The layers actually separated. Total loss. Fortunately, he happened to have three of these in his stockpile of extra parts. So he was able to put it together and get it working. Let's see. Yeah, more carnage. Unfortunately, the hard drive was a little bit special because, you know, it's a hard drive. Take it apart, you got to be in a clean room, and this wasn't. The BLT drive went AWOL or whatever, and that's what it's supposed to look like. So anyhow, if you guys want to put the camera on the PC there, we actually got it up and going, running a graphics demo, got the keyboard rebuilt, and
We even found mouse poop in the breathing hole, the air hole for the hard drive.
Yeah,
clogged up.
We haven't opened up the hard drive yet, but it's probably inside where the platters go, so... So yeah, big hand for Ian Primus, Sark on IRC. Come on! He pulled this thing out from the grave, and hopefully we'll be able to get some data off the hard drive as well. That's all I've got.
You can do the John, do the demo. Get the demo.
It's running.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Yeah, if you guys could put the camera on the screen there, it's running a graphics demo.
Yeah, it is.
So tomorrow we get home, we'll put these pictures on our blog or something, and everyone can
see.
Yeah,
there you go.
Beautiful.
So. Yeah.
Done?
All right, Emmanuel, it's your computer. It's back home.
I can't tell you what a thrill it is to get this computer back because there's stuff on there we need. But I also want to emphasize that that's not usually how we take care of our hardware. We don't let mice live in it for decades, but sometimes it happens. But wow, thanks. It's just we don't get rid of things. We like to hold on to old telephones, old computers, old technology because it still works after a long, long time, and you learn how to build new technology with the old technology. So don't throw that stuff out, you know, rebuild it and learn how it works. I know you want to say anything more about the process?
Just that we are a nonprofit, so if anybody wants to donate cool stuff to us, you know, something you could do to us. And there was something else I was going to say, I forget what it was. So.
Look at that go, though. Isn't that incredible, the graphic display there? Wow. I remember getting this machine, too. You might notice where the hard drive was. We had to drill a hole because we couldn't see the red light unless we drilled a hole in the faceplate. Because originally this computer, when we built it, only had 2 5-and-a-quarter-inch floppy drives, and very few people put in hard drives. So it was cutting edge at the time, but that didn't last very long. Oh, yeah, we have a picture of it at work. Go ahead.
One last picture. I don't have that.
Right there.
One sec. This just is it's a old picture we wanted to show because we're really, really proud of this. And so this is a photo. That's the office, yeah. So, yep. That is the old 2600 office, and this is where it used to be.
That's so. Circa 1986, I think. As you can see, we have a map of global domination and all kinds of trouble spots, telephones all over the place, a nice modern printer, incoming mail, all kinds of articles on the wall. It's pretty much looks the same now. Just some of the equipment has been swapped out. Anyway, thanks. Thanks, guys, for putting that back together and for caring.
Hey, everyone.
Hi, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
So can you put up slides?
Yeah. Slides be gone.
There we go. Slides be here. So maybe some of you noticed that there are lanyards, and they have weird things on them. And a third of the people got the top one, a third got the middle one, and a third got the bottom one. These are ciphers. Maybe some of you noticed that there were posters around, that there was a contest for it. I created the lanyards and the badges, and I thought that turned out okay. And I thought it would be fun. There was like this notion on the organizing list a few months ago. We should have a cipher contest for the lanyards, you know, rather than have some kind of corporate, I don't know, marketing at us. We made our own custom ones. So I'm not a crypto person. I don't know much about it. I had a decoder ring when I was a little kid. So the top one is actually just a decoder ring. One, you know, A is one, B is two, and I thought that would be an easy way. I didn't want to have a thing like DEF CON with in-jokes that take geniuses 3.5 days to do it, because I wanted people to enjoy hope instead. So, but I thought it would be interesting to see, would anyone want to bother to do this? And it turned out that we lost count after 50 people on the first day solved it. So, it's actually, I didn't want to make it difficult because I wouldn't understand it. So I just Googled on Wikipedia, and, well, there's the poster, and I found a bunch of things that seemed cool, and I had the first one be simple. But I started with the end myself, and I found this one that's kind of cool. If you have a key and a passphrase, then you can encode and decode anything you want. So I started with this, and if you have a key and a passphrase, then you come up with the final message, which is actually really stupid. But still, it's fun to figure it out. So the top one, that's the decoder ring that gives you the key. And here's a website I found that made that really easy. So, you know, Spinal Tap, we all kind of like that, so I kept on that theme. And then the other one, I thought it would be fun to have something that was kind of indecipherable looking, but that would give you the passphrase. And I found a way to have these weird-looking things. You know, when I actually was looking for it, I came up with, at first, something from the a serial killer in California, the Zodiac Killer. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. So this one looked more fun. So in keeping with the Spinal Tap theme, the passphrase, oh, I misspelled it there, but you'd get the idea. And then with that key and the passphrase, then you could go to, I thought there would be enough clues, people could maybe Google it to find this site, and you put in the key and the passphrase, and this top thing from the lanyard, and you come up with our final message, which is hope, and you shall receive. So take that any way you like, but this is Hope, which is, I think, one of the more wonderful hacker conferences and certainly the very best one in the United States. My first hacker conference ever was in 2006. It was the sixth Hope, and I knew I was home. And I knew I wanted to help, and I've been helping ever since, and it changed my life for the positive in so many ways. My life would be so, so, so different now if it weren't for Hope. And so here we are at the 11th Hope, 22 years later since the beginning. And I do want to say who won. We had over 50 people, and we lost count. But the winners were the first three, and that's three people who didn't even know each other, but they each had one of each lanyard, and that was TJ, Isaac, and Kyle. And there were some amazing... And I talked to Kyle, and he said, oh, well, we kind of cheated. The first one was easy, and then the other ones we really cheated. We were just kind of like filling in things and trying to figure out what it might be. And that's not cheating. That's using our hacker mindset to do the right thing. So, you know, let's give it up for them again. And then I didn't really have plans for prizes. I just figured I'd go around to the vendors and ask, and we had lots of, here's Kyle. Isaac, and TJ said he'd be here too, so TJ, so yeah, so we got some great prizes from No Starch Press, who gave some amazing books, and from Hackaday, which gave some really cool hardware, from Tool with some lockpicking stuff, and wow, I am so tired, I forgot the fourth one, but they're down there. Okay, so anyways... there's the winners, and this is Hope, changing the world, 2,600 geeks at a time. So thanks, everyone. And let's divide up these things afterwards. So come on up after. Yeah. So I did want to mention also that there was a workshop selection committee that found we had lots of submissions. We didn't have slots for all of them. It was really hard to pick, just like the speaker selection committee. So many amazing people are proposing workshops. So we chose 21 workshops to present on the sixth floor and on the mezzanine, and they were really well received. So thank you to all of the amazing presenters for the workshops. And also for the workshop selection committee, which was headed by Tech Darko and me. So, yeah, and one of the things I also did was set up the hardware hacking area where about 250 people learned to solder, and I think that makes the world a wonderful place to be. So... And for people who indulge me in my fetish of taking pictures of people soldering, you'll all be on the internet forever on my Flickr account. So just look for Maltman23. I didn't take pictures of anyone who didn't want it. And I have a few kits left, and I have a big box with, I don't know, maybe a fourth of the soldering tools left. So if anyone wants any soldering tools, please come and get them from me, because otherwise I have to ship them home, because I'm going to Luxembourg the day after tomorrow and I can't take them with me. And that's up on the mezzanine. So, thanks again, everyone. Hope you enjoyed Hope, and I look forward to many more.
Thanks, Mitch. Technically, it's not the sixth hope, it's hope number six, but just to clear that up. Got to get our names right. Just curious, even though I can't see because I'm under interrogation lights here, how many of you were at the very first hope in 1994? One person? Is that? I see one person there. No one else? Three. Oh, all right, well, you know, what happened to them? What? Wow. I didn't know they were behind me. Okay, hey, how you doing? All right, well, the reason I ask, there's a guy here, come on up to the stage, Alex. He saved his badge from the first help. You want to show the folks? Do we have a camera over there? I think by the Z100, if the camera guy can focus on the actual badge. We had quite a story. That was our first conference, 1994. Registration, in fact, took place right in the corridor next to this room. Can we see that? That's the okay. There it is. There it is. Okay. We thought it would be cool to print people's faces as they came in. Why can't you just leave it there?
Yeah. It's a little bit too low.
Because it was falling.
We need something to prop.
All right, Greg, hack the system and figure out. You see, the thing is. Wow. It's like watching evolution. Doesn't always work out. Okay, so we thought...
Listen, there are starving mice in here!
We should have gotten the mice out of there. Okay, so it turns out that when you have a line of people, we didn't know how many people were going to show up. It was the biggest hacker convention at the time in the States. We had 1,000 people all of a sudden showing up at noon on Saturday, which is when we began the thing. And each one of these took about 5 minutes to print. We soon learned... That wasn't the best idea. Alex must have been one of the first people to get, because most people did not get badges, and we wound up just giving out little sticky dots that people could put on their shirts to prove they paid. So that was our first conference. We learned from that, and we never did that again. But congratulations for saving your badge.
Exactly. It was my sister. Yeah. One thing to note about that. That was actually my sister, who was 11 years old at the time, thought it was significant enough that she should save that. And 22 years later, she gave it to me, which I thought was pretty freaking cool. And I'll tell you, yeah. For Rachel, two things happened that weekend. I was 15 years old and spent the whole weekend in the city at a hacker conference. So two things happened. My mom got really fucking pissed. And like Mitch, it changed the whole course of my life, and I think for the better. So I want to give a great big applause to Emmanuel and everybody at Hope, not just this year, but for the last 22 years. Great job.
What Alex doesn't mention is that he was a 15-year-old kid then at his first hacker conference, and now he's a lawyer. And he's still coming to the Hope conferences, so I think that's pretty damn cool. We had a bunch of firsts at this conference. First of all, I mean to say this, I forgot when I was up here last. I want to apologize to Mary Grace in Connecticut for calling her last night on the social engineering panel. I hope I don't have the whole Trump campaign after me. Wasn't the intent. The intent was simply to show how easy it is to get information on people. I also want to apologize to Starbucks and to the Bartlett Delivery Company. To NBC, Meet the Press, and Bernie Sanders, too, because if that had succeeded, he would have been screwed up because the time would have been flipped with Donald Trump. All in good fun. I'm sure everybody has a good sense of humor. I sure hope so. We also had our first ever Hackers Got Talent. How many of you were at the Hackers Got Talent last night? Wow. And I really want to thank Maya and the AV team for instantly creating a disco. I don't know how that happened. That wasn't the intent either. We just sort of were showing off talents, and all of a sudden it turned into a disco. It was awesome. It really was. And I think you might have witnessed the birth of a tradition there. We also had open microphone for the first time midnight on Friday, so that went well as in addition. And now I'd like to introduce Lindsay, who coordinated all the volunteers. If you're a volunteer, you spoke to Lindsay. She is awesome.
So a volunteer coordinator is a really awkward position for an introvert. I'm going to start out with the radio exams, because those are proctored by volunteer examiners, and that has volunteer in the title. So we gave amateur radio exams today between 1 and 3, and some numbers on that. We have 26 new technician licensees. Yeah. 7 new general licensees. And 2 new extras. So congratulations, everybody. And we had 76 total exams taken, which by the end, I really felt like it was 76,000. And if I have to write my name again today, it's not going to happen. No autographs. Thank you. All right, what else is in here? I wrote all these notes because I finally had like 2 minutes to myself today. Oh, there was 6 volunteer examiners. They gave the exams. So those 2 extras, you have to go get your volunteer examiner credential so you can help us next time. That's the requirement. If you didn't read the fine print.
Didn't read it, too bad. It's in the TOS.
Yeah. All right, so I started coming to Hope 12 years ago as an AV volunteer. So that's how, and for some reason, I kept coming back. if we didn't have our volunteers, we really wouldn't have a conference. So especially Aaron Gravy, Andrew, and Maya, the students from City Tech, they really held AV together. And, you know, AV, look how beautiful this room is. What conferences have that? Oh, and Kristen right there, she's great. And Doug on the soundboard. I can't see anybody else, so yell your name and say thank you to yourself because I can't see. there were volunteers who helped with the website, especially Sparky 005. Yay. He saved our asses a few times with some work there. To the vendors who sent donations to give out to the volunteers, thank you so much, because I mean, I feel like I can never say enough thank yous to the volunteers. It's so much work, and I always have people looking out for me, and you guys are all great. And I'll do shout-outs on Twitter, because I run the Twitter, and I can do that. Can somebody deal with this man here in the front? Thank you. Thank you, Night Owl. Night Owl's got my back. Night Owl set up a great telephone system. I kept answering everyone else's phones. It was so much fun. Oh, what else do we do at Hope? I was writing these notes and security interrupted me. All right. and thank you to some volunteers who unfortunately had to back out of coming, but they donated their badges to give to other people who weren't able to get badges, and that really helped out a lot, so I like to thank those people. And I do want to say, keep in touch. I'm usually lurking on irc.2600.net, which is run by this rodent character over here. And finally, what goes up must come down, so we have to take this whole conference down tonight. And we have some shirts left over, these really pretty purple ones, that I'll be able to give out to people who help out.
We need one!
What? Who? Who's they?
This person wants to know what size the shirts are.
All sizes. Any questions that make sense? but they go from women's, I think we have women's medium, the women's smaller out, and they go up to 3XL. Okay. So please help me take the conference report. Shut it down! Okay, bye.
We're all standing on stage for a little while in a big group.
Come on, everyone.
All right, let's go. What we're doing is we're bringing a number of the people, not nearly all of them, because AV is actually working. We invited them up on stage, and they said, fuck, we got stuff to do. Also,
the stage can only support 10 people.
Okay. There's still a couple crews out and about. A wonderful woman named Julie has been cleaning up our shit all conference down on the first and second floor. Yes, Julie. Yeah, so many people in the audience helped in various ways. I don't know. Did we explicitly thank the speakers? I don't know if we did. We thanked the speaker committee. The speakers. Are why a lot of us are here, and the speakers bring their friends, they bring in new communities. We had an incredible presence of biohacking, for example. And I really think the program we had here at HOPE is as strong as they get and as varied as they get. And it's the speakers and the submissions, the workshops and the submissions, the variety of the vendors we haven't mentioned yet, the vendors down on the second floor pavilion. These are all fantastic. They add to the variety, and they come because they want to be part of this community, and we all make it happen together. So thanks to all of those. There's a few people who have been ubiquitous throughout the event. I use that word because I try to be ubiquitous and just kind of float around and keep track of things. I want to bring out Ted. Ted has been ubiquitous in...
Don't ever go to Burning Man, let me tell you.
Ted has been ubiquitous in making sure all three tracks are simultaneously recording, everything's being streamed, everything's being simultaneously dumped. This is parallel processing in an extraordinary fashion, and we thank you for keeping all that going, for all the contributions of equipment, and for making the content available at a bargain price still this evening.
Nearly immediately.
Nearly immediately, right out back. And what's the final word on the bulk price?
We're doing SD cards. We couldn't do them at the event, but we're going to ship them next week for 400 range, depending if you pay tax or not, kind of thing, on a credit card. But, so come see me out there. We got plenty of DVDs, and we're just trying to get caught up on all the ones we're missing. So if you want to place an order and hang out, that's fine. I'll be here till probably 4 or 5 in the morning like I was last night. So swing on by.
All right. Thank you, Ted.
Wow, wow, wow.
All right. If you thought you couldn't have it all, I think we just heard that at least for this conference, at least for the three speaker sessions, you can have it all, and you can have it mailed to you next week, which is fantastic. And that'll all appear in the 2600 store, 48 to 72 hours.
We'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We saw it. In that office we just saw earlier, using that computer. And if he gets hungry, we have some bread for you. Because it's hard work. I'd like to put in an extra thank you for the MCs. We had a number of people, a few of whom are on stage. I don't know if I'll be able to name everyone off the top of my head, but Rob helped. Jen was MC, Lex was MC, Matt was MC, there he is, and we had Devin MC, new volunteer, Neo did a couple, and I'm missing at least two or three,
Bernie.
Who?
Bernie. I did a couple.
Bernie did a couple. He also, one thing that was interesting is that the talks that, I hope this isn't a secret, the talks that Bernie emceed tended to be the talks that he essentially nurtured. You know.
It's all selfish. But this is just really a scam because I'm really curious about certain topics. And so I convince people to come and talk more about stuff I want to learn about, including coming from other countries, like from as far away from Australia, as England, and so forth. So it's all selfish, and you guys happen to share some of my interests, so it works out.
It really worked out. And so Bernie S. is MC extraordinaire, as well as a friend, a new friend in some cases, to many of our speakers. So thanks very much. And thanks to all the MCs for help. I know I left at least one or two out, but there's some great hours. And is this the only conference in the world that actually stays on time? How does that occur? I don't know, but it does. Hacker time. I don't know what the theory is. I want to mention again, we had after the keynote a few words from Internet Society yesterday. Internet Society is what made the live stream happen. It's what made the simulcast happen. They've been coordinating with the cameras. They had the bread cam going on there. And we really thank the Internet Society. They came through. What is the Internet Society?
Yeah.
We're not doing that. That was a keynote yesterday. Internet Society is this fantastic. It was after the keynote. Internet Society is this fantastic organization which has an historic, important, and enlightened, most importantly, role in shaping the Internet, the freedom of the Internet, the name system of the Internet that we all rely on every single day. And a lot of the old-timers know who they are. A lot of the new-timers don't realize that not only are we standing on the shoulder of giants, but they're still among us making things work, which is really cool. So thanks to the Internet Society for making it work here. Yeah, thank you. So we'll you don't have to tell me random stuff. We'll give everyone the opportunity if there's anything I forgot. But thank you. A lot of us saw the keynote I just mentioned. Internet Society had a few minutes at the end yesterday. And as Emmanuel mentioned when we led off the keynote, Corey is someone that we've just been talking to literally for 20 years, I think, or at least something close to that. And it always just nearly worked out. And what a fantastic keynote. What I really like, and we actually got this from a number of the speakers, but Corey made it so relevant to us, to our community. It was, what can we do? Not what can someone do somewhere, sometime, somehow, but what might be impactful in the audience. And I hope everyone took some words of wisdom away from that. So thanks so much to Corey for being a fantastic keynote. I have one more on my list, and then there might be some other people. I think you have at least one that we'll add as a thank yous and a little bit of how we did and some of the outcomes. And that is, who greeted you? What was the smiling face or maybe the little screamy sound that you heard as you walked in the door and you had no badge and they said, you can't come this way without a badge?
Security.
No, security were the gentle folks that said, thou shalt not pass. No, it was a registration desk. The registration desk worked tireless hours. They developed the app that was, I mean, can you get on a plane as quickly as you got through here with the security and getting a badge and stuff like that? You know, the whole app, the whole ticketing process, the PGP keys, all that stuff, that's all done by our registration team, and they worked countless hours, and they were the smiling face that brought you into this experience. So thanks to the registration team. Grab a mic.
Okay. Test 1, 2. Donald Trump. Okay. Good. Just one quick thing. I'll speak a little. Yeah, there was another first this year that I'd kind of forgotten about because I've been doing so many things, and that's the contest that we had. So we had an essay contest in our efforts to always try to have pre-conference publicity. So this year we decided to ask students, whether they be elementary or whether they're university, to submit essays on things, whether it be the conference itself, topics within the conference, and we wound up having two winners. One was in K-12 and one was in university, and one of them was actually able to be at the conference. The prize of winning the contest was a free ticket to the HOPE conference and a one-on-one interview with our keynote speaker, Cory Doctorow. So was that you? Okay, so yeah, thank you, Cameron. He's one of the essay submitters and the winner, so thanks so much, and hopefully we'll... So just for next time, if you know of any students, especially the younger the better, who are thinking about being interested in this stuff, tell them that if they should think about writing an essay, and whoever has the best essay, they get a free ticket, and they get to interview the keynote. So, well, we'll see about that next time, but yeah.
All right, congratulations to the winners. Cheshire Catalyst, I understand we might have had some radio communication at this event.
The W2H special event station was officially licensed by the Federal Communications Commission for the event.
Any other announcement? Sorry, go ahead.
I didn't handle the logs. So I really don't know how many contacts we actually made, but I know there were a few. I sent out some tweets myself to my radio buddies back in Florida to know that W2H was on the air. I haven't checked to see whether they got in. I know my buddies at N1KSC, the Kennedy Space Center Amateur Radio Club, may have tried to contact them. I hope they made a contact. Can't say for sure. But ham radio is a hobby that's been out there for longer than the Internet, and it's been about communications. When everything else falls down, when there are hurricanes, natural disasters, man-made disasters like happened on 9/11, when communications falls down, amateur radio helps pick up the slack. Volunteers like you who can just pick up a radio, start talking, and work with your buddies to help coordinate things once things fall down. I hope you look at ARRL.org/clubs. Find a ham radio club near you. Many clubs have classes, novice classes they're called, because the original license was a novice license. This is how you can start to help pay back to your society, that when things fall down, you're ready. It's another network to explore. And that's what we all started off doing, was back with you only had a telephone in your house, you started exploring that network. Then you found out that there were modems connected. There were computer networks to go and explore. This is how you get out there. You start playing with other people, with the toys you like to play with, play with each other, and then start learning how they can all interconnect and how you can help.
That's and I just wanted to add, on the same topic of the ham radio that Cheshire Bruce brought up, we contacted at least 15 countries, communicated with us, voice data communications from Hope to and from Russia, Slovenia, the Netherlands, Hungary, Haiti, Italy, Wales, Sicily, Germany, Belgium, England, France, Ukraine, Slovak Republic, Cuba, and the nations of Texas and Brooklyn. So, but this was all done with 30 watts of power, with no infrastructure between here and the endpoint and back, which is pretty amazing. Around the world, global communications, that's one of the things. This is the first year we actually had a repeater set up, too. We had people from at least 10, 15 miles away communicating back and forth using the hotel repeater that we set up as a repeater. So everybody was able to have like a big party line who was a ham licensed person, and we have a lot of new hams this year. So it's just part of Hope. We had a lot of great volunteers. So you folks got your license, your FCC license, can come next year with the radio and join the party.
Can we say Belgium when we're streaming live? Yeah, I don't know. That's just about it. For those of you that like to help out with cleanup, we do a nice cleanup here. We do a lot of cleanup down on the second floor. People that hang around till maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock will certainly get a little gift from the vendor, a T-shirt to take with them. That's on the second floor here, first floor. Tomorrow, we need about a dozen able-bodied people to help with the truck loadout. That begins at 8:30. In the hotel. So that's the brief logistics of volunteering.
I just want to also thank the people who sold Club Mate all weekend long, Kevin and Diana and Rob and Mary. And I hope it was refreshing, because we had an awful lot of it and it's almost all gone. But it was a cool experience.
I understand they'll make more.
Also, we're making more, yes.
Also, I think we just need to give a shout out to Greg, since his tireless efforts of making sure that everything on this entire floor, everything with all the speakers, all of the special guests, everything else goes smoothly, addressing all of the problems so that, honestly, most of us don't even know about it, and looking damn sharp at the same time he pulls it off.
Thanks, everyone. A wrap?
We're done.
That's a wrap. Thank you. See you in 2 years. You're wonderful. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Hope.